670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's Jeremy White.
I think everybody knows someone does this, or
I think I know what you're about to say.
Wears shorts every single day, no matter what.
Yes.
And Joe DiBiase.
Everybody knows someone that does this. They wear shorts 365.
Hypothermia? We're like hypospermia.
Listen, if none of my friends are going to do it, I'm going to be the guy that wears shorts all the time.
I don't fear the cold. The cold fears me.
All situations, except like weddings. You know, at that point, lean into it.
You just got a pair of shorts.
You get to the wedding, the bride. What's going on with your buddy there? Oh, he's a shorts every day guy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Chilly out there.
Chilly. Car said 43.
43. Yeah. Well, the good news is I, listening to News Radio 930 WBEN on the way in, Aaron Mankowski said no thought of a frost advisory in anywhere along like the near future. So even though it is a little chilly, it's not going to get really cold for a bit.
Okay.
That's good, right, I think.
When do they get to frost advisory? Is it got to be in the 30s?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. And foreseeable future, at least a week or two, nothing in the near, whatever. Mm-hmm. 43, or Chris said 43.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got 46 right now. Highs in the mid-70s, and today, I guess, is the coldest day of the next 10, so at least in the morning.
I was going to say, if we're getting into the 70s during the day, can't complain about that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty nice.
Yesterday was very much, I think we found a new way to complain about the weather, which is right when it is in this this middle zone where when the sun goes behind a cloud, it goes down by about 15 degrees, and it's, oh, let me throw the quarter zip on. And then the moment that the sun pops out from behind said cloud, it goes up 15 degrees and, like, way too hot for the quarter zip. So it was on, off, on, off, on, off with the quarter zip yesterday.
That was a lot of my tailgating experience. On, off, on, off. Then the sun goes down, and, you know, you're good to go. But, yeah.
Yeah, by that point, then you're fine.
It is quarter zip on, off season.
Yeah,
that's how it goes. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. How much of that game you watched last night? I watched a good chunk of it, and then, like many of you out there might have decided to do, I made an executive decision that I desperately needed to catch up on sleep.
Yeah.
Because the night game from Sunday night and early mornings for a lot of you, like, all right, you know? I'd like to...
Let me call it on this one. It's an 11-point game. McCarthy looks bad. He just threw, like, the worst pick six you could see.
And much like Sunday night, you woke up and the Vikings won.
Yeah.
27-24. Right. They looked toast. And J.J. McCarthy does his best. Josh Allen light, and I mean light.
Sure.
Wasn't exactly Superman, but he had two touchdown passes and a rushing touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and they were all nice.
Yeah, so
all of them were nice.
A come-from-behind victory for the Vikings. The Bears, boy, if you're a Bears fan, you probably feel encouraged, but at the same time, you just had another loss. Like, it's just a loss. Congrats.
Yeah.
Moral victory time, whatever.
Ooh, Caleb Williams. Even that, like, I don't know.
No?
They went a long time without score. I mean, you got Ben Johnson in there, and, like, my group chat after the first drive was, oh, here come the Bears. Caleb Williams looks awesome. Ben Johnson, baby, right? Like, that's a new Bears.
Yeah.
They marched down the field right away and scored a touchdown, and here's what they did after that. Five-play punt. Five-play turnover on downs. Three-play punt. Nine-play field goal. Three-play punt. Five-play punt.
Not good.
That was the next, like, 2.5 hours of Bears football. Just nothing happening at all. I had the game on just, like, thinking, I'll fall asleep to this game. Like, I'll leave it on, I'll fall asleep. I did, like, right after the pick six, second quarter, and I woke up at, like, the beginning of the fourth quarter, and it was, I think, 20-17. Like, the Bears hadn't scored. And however much time I was asleep, second quarter to fourth quarter, they hadn't scored. So, I don't know what your moral victory is today. I mean, they did score 24, so you've seen worse. But
one moral
think you
victory,
wanted better than that.
It is the first time they scored on a touchdown on their opening drive in more than a year. They went the whole year last year without a touchdown on their opening drive.
That's
so
amazing.
There's a little bit of a moral victory there. It was a little bit of the Caleb Williams experience, though, where he makes a lot of nice plays that show some talent, but on schedule, there's just not a lot there right now. Like, it's missing. He is the athlete that can throw on the run, made a nice throw to Roman Dunze on the first drive, ran for a touchdown on that first drive as well. Like, all right, there's a lot to like here. But on schedule, from the pocket, trusting the system, like, they got a long way to go for him.
Yeah, I mean, six punts in the game for the Bears.
That's not good.
There were a lot of punts in general. I mean, the Vikings did that too. It's kind of amazing. You know what it really was? Like, the number of drives in this game was, I'll have to count them up. There were a ton of drives because of all the three and outs, all the five-play drives. Mixed in was a couple of those long ones. I thought McCarthy looked better, as you would expect after a pick six.
He was left for dead after that.
But, like, those touchdowns, like, he wired, it was like a 15-yarder to Jefferson over the middle and a tight window. He hit Jones on a wheel route where he had to feather it right over the linebacker. Like, he made a couple nice throws in that game.
803-0550. Good morning. Howard picks the Bills today. Sal's off. We give Sal the day off on Tuesdays here for, week preparations as the Bills go into this game against the Jets on Sunday. We won't exactly turn the page yet. Don't you feel like we should spend more time remembering what was?
Yes, and I think probably today might be the day for a little teensy bit more on how bad the defense looked.
Okay.
A little bit
more on how bad the defense looked. Maybe a little bit more space for, we were pretty close to a very different conversation about it. But, at the end of the day, I saw a clip from the afternoon show, Mike Schoep, saying if this team doesn't win the Super Bowl, it'll be criminal. You know, basically, he then said, like, maybe I'm going a little far with that, but the idea of the Bills as they're constructed, I don't know if he meant this season or this team with Josh Allen, because it's another example, it's another edition of Josh Allen is literally, and I don't even mean, oh, you're saying it, you shouldn't say it literally like that, you mean figuratively. No, I think I actually might think he's Superman. What he actually is Clark Kent. He is possibly an actual superhero. Mm-hmm. He is actually one of one. What he is, I'll say something here and people might get mad. He's what people think Mahomes still is, that Mahomes used to be, that maybe Mahomes can get back to being, right? He, I guess, has to do it all the way to raising a Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
But what we saw on Sunday night, watching all the reaction around the league, how could you kick it back to Josh Allen with a minute left? That's too much time. That's the Mahomes conversation. That's always the Mahomes conversation. That was the Peyton Manning conversation. He is the best player in football, and the other guy on the other side is probably number two, or they're one and two the other way, however you want to do it, with Lamar and Josh. They were both incredible in this game.
Yeah.
They both had individual efforts that were off the charts, but Allen is just the things he can do. Watching him is a transcendent experience. Watching these highlights again where, here he goes, he's rolling out, and he just throws it wherever he wants. He's ever the golfer. He's Scottie Scheffler, where you can't believe how good he is at this. Oh, who's the best? That guy again. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? It's the third round, and Scheffler is seven strokes back. Blink. He's in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
That's Josh Allen. He's Scottie Scheffler. He does whatever he wants out there, and it's absolutely incredible. So I'm just kind of – I know it's 2 days later, but yesterday was a little bit of waking up and like, it was kind of wild, right? And now today it's just like, oh, no, the guy's unbelievable. What are we supposed to do with it? Right? Isn't there some element of what do we do with this? You just got to kind of wait and watch it every week and wonder what his next trick will be. What will he do against the Jets?
Pretty much.
What will he do next?
That's why it was easy to get frustrated for me in the first half when he's not really involved. Because there is just an element of, I just want to watch this dude.
Yeah.
I just want to, and when they go in a drive and he doesn't throw the football. When it's just run, 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 punt. And then the next drive, it's screen, screen, hand off to Shakir inside, run, run. Like, okay, they march down the field. Good. I didn't get to see anything from Allen, really, on that drive. And like, that kind of stinks. Like, not stinks, but it's more fun to watch him just unleash hell on the defense.
Right.
For an entire half. Right. There's no doubt about that. Maybe it's not always the right decision, and you know there are other ways to play the game. And a lot of teams now are playing where you can't just go hit him with haymakers like you did in the fourth quarter. But when it does come out, it's awesome.
Is that
it's
right?
Just awesome.
Maybe that's a good conversation. Is it right that you can't play like that until you're losing?
Well,
is it right that you need the balance and all that? Or what if the Bills just played like they were losing by 16 at all times?
Mm-hmm.
Would they score 60 a game? Is that
would they score 60, or would it look like it did 2 years ago with Ken Dorsey?
Or 4 years ago with Brian Daboll? I mean,
maybe
2 years ago with Ken Dorsey, before they go in the tank with Dorsey and it kind of dries up because of a bad couple of games. I mean, he got fired halfway through a season. Before that, they were blowing the doors off the Dolphins. They go 3-0 and beat the Dolphins. Were they 3-0 at the time or whatever? They beat the Dolphins in week three, the week after they score 70. And Dorsey is the toast of the town because they're throwing the ball all over the field.
That was week four. They were 3-1.
3-1. They lost to the Jets.
The Jets in week one.
Because Allen had thrown a couple of picks. Yeah. Like, they've gotten the try to bite off more than you can chew, Allen, I guess. But I'm almost ready to ask the question if he could actually bite that off now. Maybe that's, you know, it's another golfer analogy. He's now the best hitter on tour. He doesn't have to go for every one of those tight shots. You don't have to go for every par 5 and 2, which is what it looks like he does when he's in that mode late in games. It's, just hammer it down there as much as you want.
Yeah. Well, like, who's doing that right now? What, like, is it just Cincinnati that's really doing it that way?
I don't know. They had 7 yards in the second half of a game.
Yeah, that was a tough one. So last year's Bengals, right? They did not look like that on Sunday. Week one Bengals, though. Sorry if you started Joe Burrow in a guillotine league. That's your own fault for starting Joe Burrow in a week one. Who is the Eagles don't do it like that right now? The Chiefs don't do it like that. The Ravens maybe even are the closest. Mm-hmm. Jackson puts up video game numbers, and he's throwing the ball a lot. I mean, he's probably got better weapons to do that with than Allen does.
I don't know if the Chargers are a team that's doing that, but they looked like that. They looked the part on Friday night.
Last year, though, they ran the ball a lot, and there was fewer attempts for Herbert, I think, last year than any year in his career.
But once they got him healthy and they got their receivers healthy, they started the turn.
They started going.
Yeah. And one of the jokes from Friday night, if you watch that YouTube broadcast, was Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner, every single time the Chargers passed the ball, they couldn't believe the Chargers were passing the ball. Another pass.
That was funny. Rich Eisen was just blown away.
Another
every time.
Pass.
Yeah. So you believe they got a first down again?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Rich, is usually how this works.
Right.
Put the ball in the hands of the really good quarterback, and oh, they got 10 yards.
So we're all
crazy.
Maybe guilty of just, maybe not all of us, maybe some of us are guilty of kind of what you said, just wanting to see more of Allen selfishly as a viewer.
Which is funny because now that's the opposite from like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, which was, are they using him too much?
Yeah, I never thought that. I never thought that.
It was a question.
I had the numbers to dispel that idea.
Yeah.
It was never really true. Sometimes he would scramble on his own, but, you know, you go for the total touchdowns or the total yards with the passing and the rushing, and I put up the numbers of the percentage of the yards that Allen put up against the other top quarterbacks. He was right there with all the others.
Yeah.
Burrow, Mahomes, Brady at the time. Brady was in the league when we were doing this conversation about are the Bills using Allen too much, and it just didn't make any sense to me at the time. But they do kind of slow play him now. And in a game like this one on Sunday against the Ravens, I don't want to say it's quite break glass in case of emergency. It's more like wait for him to break the glass and come out.
Yeah.
He's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Psh, the glass breaks, and now, all right, you woke him up. Sorry. You gave him a little bit of a shot here, and now he's just going to rain fire on you.
Well, he last year was 14th in attempts, and he was in the top 10 every year that I'm looking back before that. Sal yesterday with me said, you know, and he said this a couple times, that the Bills kind of want to be, like, this is what they were trying to do in the first half. They want to be a, as he described it, a low event team.
Right.
And
is that a good idea?
I can't imagine that when you have this quarterback that let me limit the amount of things that happen in a football game. Basically, is what that sounds like to me. When you're going to have the advantage at the most important position every game of the season, except for the one you just played where it's even, or it's a push. So, no, I think I would want as many as possible. Because that, I think the bad teams would want, let me, that's how, what, the Giants do it in Super Bowl 25. That's how.
That's usually how underdogs play. Underdogs play that way.
Right, so I don't think I'd want the Bills to play that way.
But they played that way last year, and it worked very well. They played that way, and they won a lot of games. They got to the playoffs, and against Baltimore, that worked pretty well.
They've won the turnover battle 25 games in a row now.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you're going to win a lot of games if you do that. Is low event only turnovers? Because they dig themselves a double-digit hole against Baltimore with no turnovers.
No.
They had punts. That's what they had, right? You had a couple of punts. Your defense, of course, was a big part of that. If you had an average defense in that game, maybe it feels a little bit different. But, yeah, the low event conversation is one we've had before. I, of course, always go back to that Kansas City playoff game when A.J. Klein's playing linebacker. That's a reason why you would, all right, let's make this a low event game. Here's why we should do it. We feel like we have a deficiency, and a low event game might help us be in it. They ultimately ended up being right by being in the game.
Yeah.
So I... Well, I don't know what to do with it.
If you want the opposite, maybe what you might need is you need their defense to prove to the coaching staff that they're improved from last year, because that might be what you need. Like, if they're playing that way where, hey, we're going to slow play things and we're going to run it a lot and we're going to run a lot of screens and plays where you just can't really ever have it turn negative. You know, like, the worst that's going to happen on a screen is you're going to lose 2 yards. Whereas, like, you're not really going to ever throw a pick, you know? You're very rarely going to fumble the ball. Like, you're not going to get sacked for 8 behind the line of scrimmage. So that's one way to prevent that. Maybe you need your defense to prove to the offense, prove to the coaching staff that they can hang. And then they'll be like, all right, go ahead, offense. Go nuts.
Go crazy. Because
now I can trust the defense. You don't have to protect the defense anymore. The defense can protect itself. And I don't love the way that sounds, but that might be, if you want them to start slinging it like you did in the second half, you might need that.
Yeah. 803-0550. Yeah, the fears of that kind of approach, throwing themselves out of a game, or, well, I'm trying to think, like the last however many losses they have and to who those losses are to, really, I'm at a point now where at 6 a.m. I'm trying to remember, okay, let's talk about their losses that were non-playoff losses. Who'd they lose to last year?
They lost to the Rams, which was
a game where their defense got shredded.
Yep.
They lost to Baltimore in a game where their defense got shredded. And the offense in that one was really rough. But
they lost to Houston in a game where the offense was really rough.
Really rough.
And then before that, we're back into the year before, which is going to be, like, we're back into Dorsey, right?
Yeah.
That's Denver, Cincinnati.
Turnovers.
They lost to New England at New England. They lost to the Jaguars in London. Yeah, lost to Zach Wilson.
Those are games they lost when the offense stalled.
Yeah.
You know, the story about Dorsey and turnovers. And by the way, Ken Dorsey got a lot of strays on Sunday night. If you were on Twitter and following.
I did see that, yeah.
Every person frustrated with Joe Brady in the first half was saying, I didn't know Ken Dorsey came back. Which, if you want to get really into the weeds there on that, I would say the two ways that they struggled were not the same at all. Dorsey didn't call run plays and punt. Dorsey was, maybe they were too aggressive, too much downfield, and of course turnovers did them in. But right, when Dorsey was running the show, it just felt like the offense was difficult. They were stuck in the mud. And maybe that's the comparison for the first half, because in the first half, the offense looked like it was difficult, and they could only get things going when it's tempo or, you know, the chunk plays before the half. So, I don't know. Like, right now what they've got is a quarterback that is unbelievably comfortable in the offense that they do have. So even if, you know, someone like you or me thinks, oh, maybe it should be this or that, the quarterback is comfortable in it. There's a clip going around about the pass to Cook and the way that Josh Allen, rather, is beating teams with his mind and beating teams with the way he moves guys around the formation. Like, you have a field general that's also actually Captain America. That's also actually Iron Man himself. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's another game on Sunday where you think, if this guy does not win a Super Bowl somehow, some way, in some version of these Bills, whether it's because they have a monster pass rush that also gets the job done or a perfect complimentary run game, whatever it is, if this guy doesn't win, it will be more than just a disappointment for Buffalo. It'll be a shame for the entire league. And is that too far? You have a player this good. If he were to not win a Super Bowl, it would be a shame for football to not see him.
Would it supersede Marino?
Yes.
Think it would, right?
Yes. By a lot. I think it supersedes Marino by a lot.
Marino did throw 5,000 yards in like 1983.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
This is, it would be insane for him to never actually win one.
Yep.
And that was a reminder on Sunday. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. You want to give us a ring? Are you feeling like on the DEFCON system of using Allen too much and using Allen not enough? I mean, where do you think we are right now? Not enough, and that's why he had to take over the game? Do you want to see more of that? 803-0550. Of course we will, yes, dig into some of what happened on defense, talk about their matchup this week against the Jets, and poke around the entire AFC because the picture as of week one looks pretty good for the Bills. Jerry and Kenmore leads us off this morning. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, good morning. You know, I think it's game dependent. This was a team in Baltimore that you could not be chasing. You cannot allow that team to get a 10 or a 14-point lead because then they do what they want. And there might not be enough possessions in the game to catch up. Those second and those third series were so aggravating as a fan. Anybody over the age of 40 knows when Cook goes for 9 on first down, what is that next play called? It's called a free play because it's second and one. And what do? We run Cook for a one-yard loss. Now it's third and two. Stop getting into third downs. Stay out of third downs, please. This is like the Avengers. It's like Hulk. They don't use Hulk till they need him. Well, why not use Hulk from the beginning sometimes, and then you don't have a problem? He's the Hulk.
Yeah. He's a freak. He's incredible. And watching the reaction from around the entire league.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yep. There was a lot of Ravens beating themselves again yesterday. Yep. But there was a proper amount of Allen praise,
well,
I think, from what I saw.
It's one of the reasons that being on this side of the craziest game ever is fun. You get a window into the stages of losing that game. Baltimore, if you're following any Ravens fans, like I've got no problem with anybody that are Ravens fans, but Kevin Ostreicher, who we had on the show last week of Locked On Ravens, he tweeted out the Zapruder film of the Ravens punt that was downed at the 1-inch line where the guy's wrist touched the goal line, so then it became a touchback.
Yeah.
All right. When you lose a game like that, you dig into every single play. Sure, man. Congratulations. Like, if you're a Ravens fan upset about the fact that ball was downed at the 1, but then he bounced into his pad broke the plane, sure. It's week one.
Uh-huh.
Relax. If you're Baltimore, I feel like you should actually be a little bit chill about how it happened. You blew a lead. It does happen. It's week one. It doesn't ultimately matter.
If I were them, I wouldn't be chill. I'd be chill after like maybe the fourth time it happened. How about after the eighth?
Well,
I think this coach has got a major problem.
Well, you might
more than like well beyond what we've got with McDermott here. It's like 13 seconds happening over and over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, I mean, except it's not. I mean, because all those are in the regular season, and what is the story of the Ravens? It's what they do in the playoffs.
They do it in the playoffs too. They don't have leads like
that,
this.
Well,
that's
the point.
They make mistakes, and they're not buttoned up. Like, they should not lose those playoff games that they've lost. They shouldn't have lost the last one.
Well, they had turnovers. That's not on the coach.
The coach
doesn't turn the ball over. The players did, right? That's Lamar turned it over, and Andrews dropped the pass, and Andrews had a fumble pump or poked loose.
Mm-hmm.
I read a big, long thread about Harbaugh and the Ravens from Timo Risk and Kevin Cole of Unexpected Points as well. The two of them were kind of going after it. Like, the Ravens are a team that has had some kind of rough luck, a little bit like the Bills, where sometimes you lose close games to great teams, and you think, it's kind of bad luck if it's a bad spot here or somebody dropped the pass or somebody did that. And their takeaway was, you can blame who you want. If you're a Harbaugh guy, you can go after Harbaugh. And if you're a Lamar guy, you can go after Lamar. Kind of like how Bills fans, what do? The Bills fans that want to go after McDermott, it's McDermott's fault. You want to go after a player over here, it's the player's fault. Anyway, 803-0550. More of your phone calls.
for the Bills and the Ravens. We're remembering it because it was, of course, incredible. And on the slider of the battle for Josh Allen's soul and how much we want him to do, Sunday was a reminder he can do a lot. Question is, should the Bills ask more earlier in these games? I guess in this game, that's the question. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll recap the week that was, get your phone calls in, talk with Howard today to pick the Bills, and of course, keep rolling here as the football season is underway. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Thielen in motion. McCarthy keeps. He's got it. And forces his way into the end zone. Touchdown. Hockenson out in front of him. And J.J. McCarthy takes it into the end zone.
Joe Buck on the call. J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings come back to beat the Bears last night in Chicago. I've got two stats of the day. I know we're only supposed to do one, but I'm going to do two because I think they're both really interesting. One is Rich Rebar, Lord Reeves on Twitter of where? Sharp Football Analysis pointed out that last night, if there was no defensive touchdown or special teams touchdown in the game, it would be the first time in the 2000s to not have a defensive score in week one. So going in, it was a little bit of, it's really rare for there not to be a defensive touchdown in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? Pick six.
Pick six last night, yep.
To me, knowing it going in was incredible. Wow, I wonder if we'll get a defensive touchdown tonight.
And we did.
Pick six. Wow.
Should have bet it.
I honestly thought of, but that would just be betting it's due.
That would be
it's,
it,
it's
yeah.
not real good math to do it. Just, hey, you know what? They're probably due. So that's the first one. The second one is, same Lord Reeves on Twitter from Rich Rebar. There's still one game to go, right? This is, again, going into the game. So two stats going into the game that are incredible. He pointed out we had the most rushing points from quarterbacks ever to kick off a season. That in, from a fantasy standpoint, quarterbacks are rushing for touchdowns. Before the game, quarterbacks had set records for attempts and touchdowns. They both ran for touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it was the week one record setter for rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks around the league.
Yeah.
Crazy. So anyway, those are your stats of the day. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Hopefully you're a little well-rested, caught up on some sleep. We're talking about the incredibleness that still was that game. And, you know, talking about the Bills' usage of Josh Allen, because I think the frustration in the first half was feeling like you have this incredible quarterback. You should be using him. If you want to chat about that with us, you can. Then again, on the other side, they didn't really use Lamar that much because Derrick Henry just takes the ball and runs 1,000 yards.
You know, it's tough. There were drives that were lost for Lamar because his running back just selfishly decided to get all the yards on one single drive.
Right. Yeah. Eric in Lockport. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, morning, boys. How's it going?
Good.
So I just kind of want to talk about the game. I thought it was a master class on how coaching impacts games, both sides. I mean, for the Bills, I really, you know, it's a classic McDermott thing where, like, it seems like they realize way too late that the defense doesn't have it and that they're in a shootout. And then, holy cow, the running the ball on second and third and short. It was like the Ravens were in the huddle. I mean, I don't know how many times they tried it, and it did not work once. They were trying to run the ball in the fourth quarter down 15 on second, third, and short, and it wasn't working. It was way too predictable. And then on the Ravens side, I mean, this is like probably got to be the sixth or seventh time Harbaugh has punted a game away on them. I mean, not only was it bad on analytics and percentages, but it fails the gut check. I mean, Josh Allen took two plays to get a field goal in the first half. He watched it happen earlier. And then your own offense puts up 40 points. I don't know. I had heard that Lamar said he was cramping. There was some kind of explanation. I don't know. Punting the ball is not an option. I'm running to play my backup quarterback if I have to. But I just kind of wanted to throw it all out there. Appreciate it, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
One thing about Lamar cramping on that play before they were for 4th-and-3. Did you see the replay of the third down pass?
I saw him get smoked right by Ed Oliver.
Lit.
Yeah, as hard as a quarterback's ever going to get hit.
Lit up. So whether it was bell rung, cramp, feeling it, whatever. He came off the field. He says it was cramping. Otherwise, he would have been trying to go for that play.
Which, is he going to get blowback for that?
I don't think so.
Cramping? Really? I don't want to play the what would Josh Allen do in that situation, but we think he would come off the field. We think Tom Brady would come off the field.
He didn't call himself off the field.
Well, that's how he made it sound.
He said
we would have gone for it if I wasn't cramping.
That's not what he said. He said he was asked if he talked to the coach. He said I was cramping, and if I wasn't, maybe I would have tried to talk to him about it.
So then it was on Harbaugh.
The question is, would you have tried to overrule the coach? And there's a question to be asked. Would Allen have tried to do that there?
Maybe. Okay, so then Harbaugh's the one that decided to go for on fourth down. The egregious decision to punt was all Harbaugh. Then.
They lost eight points of win probability, 8 percentage points.
That is as high as you will ever see on a decision
by punting. And
that's brutal.
And for anyone that doesn't what is win probability, blah, 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 does it factor in Josh Allen's on the other side? I don't think it does.
I don't think it does. No.
And it was still -8 to punt the ball there. Josh Allen, to me, if I'm a Ravens fan, and you said it's a -8 on win probability, I'd say that's Josh Allen. This is a -80.
You've seen what he's been doing in the last two drives? They've been moving the ball down the field.
Right.
They had to get lucky on the touchdown, but they were moving it.
I wonder if you could go to the greatest comebacks in history. This Bills one is not one of the greatest ever, but it's pretty close in terms of how late it was. You just go back in time and offer the coach who blows the historic lead and say, hey, just real quick. Do you want to try and get 4 yards and stop this right here?
Yeah.
You want to try and get 2 yards? How many times in all these comebacks has a team just punted on a 4th-and-1? It's probably fine. It's okay. We're still up this many points.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up the comeback game.
I have the box score open. I want to see if they did
The Oilers
it.
Punt on 4th-and-3
twice. They must have,
five
right?
times.
There has to be some bad punts, especially in the early 90s. There's got to be some bad punts.
A lot of punts. Mo in New Jersey. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got to be honest with you. In that situation, I think Harbaugh is damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if he goes for it, they don't get it. The Bills get the ball back, and they just run the clock out, make them use their timeouts. It would have shook out.
Well, I think it was
too much time, wasn't there?
I think if the Bills get the ball there and you make your stops, they kick and you have time. And that's part of the reason why you do go for it is because you want the Bills to only have 38 yards to go instead of, 80 yards or whatever it ultimately ended up being.
Yeah, if they had gone for that play and not gotten it, how much time would have been on the clock? I'll look that up. But I think there was definitely more than 2 minutes, that's for sure. And they had all their timeouts.
All right, well, anyway. Yeah, so I want to talk about Josh Allen real quick. In the first half, right, we have, in my eyes, probably the best player in the NFL, right? If he's not one, he's two.
Yep.
And the first drive, he was so locked in, there was a rope to Kincaid for a touchdown. I'm thinking, here we go. We didn't see him all preseason, and he's locked in already. Let him loose. And the next two drives, I think we ran three times in a row, and then the next drive, and then punted. The next drive, we ran a couple of times in one throw. I'm like, what are we doing here? Are we trying to take him out of his rhythm? We're our own worst enemy sometimes. In the beginning of his career, yes, we needed to protect him sometimes. I felt like he would just, he would go out there and just do what he does, but we have to protect him from himself. But now he knows his way around the football field better than anybody else. And I trust him with the keys to the city. You know what I mean? Just go do it. And when we do things like that, first, second down, these runs, I know that has to be part of the game, but don't give me three runs in a row and punt. And I just got so frustrated. I felt like that just let some of the air out of the game for us. And then the last thing I'll touch on, I don't know if you guys touched on this yesterday. If you did, I apologize. But 41-40, I don't think it's ever been done before.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Do think that was the first time again. It was a scoregami. So
yep.
I just wanted to bring that up. But thanks a lot, fellas.
Thanks, Mo. It was scoregami. We at one point thought about a scoregami draft where we were going to draft scores.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we got our former Bill, future Bill fantasy league. We could do a scoregami fantasy league if you want. To the point about the fourth down. So if the Ravens go for that.
It was less than 2 minutes.
It was less than 2 minutes, yeah. But it was a lot of time.
133,
and you have all three. You have all three timeouts. Sorry, Mo. 133, and you have all timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like to me, the enemy is, of course, the game-winning field goal. But the worst-case scenario is not the Bills get a field goal. It's they get a 29-yarder at the gun. That's actually the worst thing that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a 29-yarder with 34 seconds left, that's better. So how can Baltimore actually save time without using timeouts? By having the Bills need less field. The Bills get the ball and get control of the clock. The ability to, on the first play of the game, or the first play of that fourth quarter drive, the Bills get a 6-yard pass to Shakir and kill 21 seconds to go 6 yards. Then it's a run for Keon, a pass to Coleman for 8, a run for Allen, out of bounds. Like, the Bills are in control of the clock here. Pass to Palmer for 32, and now they're already where they were before, the 34-yard line, and they have killed off 30 seconds in doing so. If instead of that, they get those 30 yards, even if they get to the 5, even if they get in the end zone, what I want to find Baltimore is, you know what, they might score, I don't know, I'll try and stop them, but I'm going to try and find any way I can to make sure Lamar is the last person with the ball in his hands. And by punting, they gave that up.
And the odds of getting to all of those defensive scenarios in the first place are probably an underdog to they get 3 yards and get a first down.
Smartest coaching decision of the week happened in Minnesota and Chicago last night. I actually don't know if it's the smartest because I didn't watch every single game. But a very...
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Very smart play with the new kickoff rules. Tell you what that is next. I get to a call here in a minute. I want to tell you about the coaching call of the week, though. Happened last night in Chicago between the Bears and the Vikings late in the game. So this is one of those ones where you're like, yeah, obviously that's a great idea. The Vikings are leading. Chicago scores a touchdown. And they get to that spot where it's like, well, what are we going to do? Onside kick or what should we do? And there's 2 minutes and 2 seconds left in this game, Joe.
Okay. They're down 3.
That's right. The Bears kick it away to Minnesota. It is fielded deep in the end zone. 7 yards deep in the end zone.
Yeah.
The Vikings bring it out. Instead of just taking the 35-yard line for the touchback, the Vikings bring it out. Why do they bring it out? Because by returning the kick, they take the clock from 2:02 to 1:55. Instead of their first snap being right before the 2-minute warning, they killed the 2-minute warning with a return.
Yep.
And in doing so, effectively bled an additional 40 seconds off the clock because now they can run another play. The Bears are going to have to use their timeouts, of which they had, I believe, all three. The Bears had one. One timeout. If you just kneel there and take the 35-yard line, first snap, 2-minute warning. Second snap, Bears timeout. Instead, it's first snap, Bears timeout, and the warning is already gone.
Right.
The Bears got the ball back with 9 seconds left.
And it would have been 49 seconds.
Right.
Really sharp.
They would have maybe had to get a first down or think about a first down. Instead, Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings with a brilliant, brilliant galaxy brain. You know what? And this wasn't, again, 7 yards deep. Maybe in the moment you're saying, why are you bringing it out? They're bringing it out because it kills a full play.
Yeah.
Kudos to Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings. It helped them get the win, 27-24. Coaching call of the week, returning a kick 7 yards deep. They lost 9 yards, bled clock, and avoided the two-minute warning from even really being a factor. Larry in South Florida. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, I'm one of the fans that Josh Allen was disappointed in, so I'm just going to have to donate that $17 to see if I can get back in his good graces. Yeah, unfortunately, I was traveling, and I was at the mercy of my ride, and they said they were leaving, so I didn't really have too much of a choice. So as I was watching this game going through the first three quarters, all I kept thinking about, and I'm still thinking about this, of course, is that the money that Bean spent on the offseason on defense, and then all our draft capital in the first four rounds on defense, and they still cannot figure out how to handle Henry. It blows me away that almost every single game he plays, whether it's Tennessee or Baltimore, he really, you know, breaks a long run against us or does what he did in that game. So, yeah, I'm super happy we got the fumble and in that tip ball for the touchdown. So, I mean, we had a little luck on our side a little bit, but, you know, they worked their butts off to get there. But the defense is what's really disappointing me. I was also going to tell you that Brandon Bean needs to call you and apologize for his behavior earlier this year, especially when it comes to the wide receiver, because all I'm thinking is, how is it possible, like the two callers have already mentioned, for Cook to run 8 yards in a second and two? I looked at the people I was sitting with. I said, here's a chance where you go over the middle. Josh Allen over the middle or Josh Allen downfield. Open it up. When they opened it up in the fourth quarter, oh, wow, we actually have wide receivers. And we have wide receivers that can play. We have wide receivers that can catch. And they didn't even include Elijah Moore very much in that onslaught in the fourth quarter. He's the one that actually has the downfield speed that can get some separation. But Palmer, my goodness, this guy is I loved him when he was with the Chargers. I loved the signing. It'd be nice to see if Curtis Samuel can ever actually play and see what our receivers can do. But I still think I am on that train, Jeremy. It doesn't have to be a number one wide receiver, but it's got to be a wide receiver that they feel confident enough that they can use to get that separation throughout the game. Why are we waiting until, like the gentleman said, breakout Hulk? Why are we waiting until the fourth quarter when it's absolutely necessary to let the MVP, and which could arguably be the best player in the NFL, do his thing? Why are we being so conservative? I figured Brady would have learned his lesson by now, or McDermott would have learned his lesson by now, and let this guy just be Superman when he wants to be Superman. Unleash him. It's like, what are we doing? We are wasting so much talent and so much time with the best player we've ever seen. And look, I'm 62, and it's going to be really hard for me to say that all the great players, he's the best that we've ever had. And I felt just watching those first three quarters, what are we doing and what did Bean do with this defense when he completely ignored getting a separating wide receiver? So I'd love to get your comments on it. It was great to be there. I'm actually was sick to my stomach walking back to the car watching it on my phone. I was like, I can't believe I just did this. But
thanks.
Anyway, it's a great win. But you're right. Allen is unbelievable, and it doesn't matter. When he was breaking to the left and to the right and he's throwing across his body, I used to be terrified. Now I expect great things.
The ball leaves his hand here. It's just, who's going to catch it? Like, it's going to be complete. You're going to find somebody, especially late in games. Thanks, Larry. We can get to the wide receiver conversation. I mean, I feel like they had a great day late once things kind of broke down. Earlier in the day, it is one of the reasons I think they were in a hole, is they were having trouble getting open. But, you know, the whole thing's a work in progress, and we'll get into the defense there and some of their new pieces. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, it's Tuesday now. We're chatting about that game between the Bills and the Ravens. I have another note on that Bears touchback from Bulldog, which is a good point here made on the Manning cast. Football season, baby. We're back. You can join us, 803-0550. Are they letting Superman be Superman enough? I guess that's the conversation today here on WGR.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.